That's how the song ended.
Very true statement. Turn with me, if you would, this evening to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter number 17. Book of Acts, chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. I'm going to read the first 12 verses of the chapter. I'm going to speak to you tonight about being a Berean. We're going to look at the Bereans and how that you and I can be like the Bereans. I'm sure you've heard the word before. I'm sure you've heard the term before. Some people name their church after the Bereans. There's publishing companies named after the Bereans. Berean Publishing Company. This evening I want to speak to you about being like the Bereans. The way that they approach the Word of God and their habits in studying the Word of God. Before we get into the message, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with and given to us this evening. Lord, we're thankful that we can come and assemble together again. We can gather around your word and get something from your word. I pray that you'd help me as I preach and speak and say things. Lord, I pray that I would say things that would be truthful and edifying, that you would use the words that are spoken. I pray that you would plant the seed deep down in the word, in the hearts of the hearers, that it would bear fruit in our lives, that you would help us and strengthen us because of what we've heard, and we'll thank you for it. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter number 17, begin reading in verse number 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, talking about Paul and Silas, where a synagogue of the Jews was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days Sabbath reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These men that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. When they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. We have two groups of people here. We have those Jews in Thessalonica. Verse number 5 says, those Jews did not believe, but they moved with envy, and they caused a riot in the city. And then we have the Jews in Berea. Verse number 11, two groups of Jews here. They're both in a synagogue. But it says that those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And the reason was, or their nobleness is seen, their nobility is seen in how that they received the Word of God. They received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Paul and Silas have just come from Philippi. They had seen a Philippian jailer converted in chapter number 16. They had seen a woman named Lydia converted in chapter number 16. And they left over there at Philippi and they came to Thessalonica. And they came to the Jewish synagogue, which Paul was accustomed to doing, going to the Jewish synagogue and preaching to unsaved Jews, reasoning with them out of the Scripture. That was his usual way of operating. He goes there and he preaches to the Jews. Some of them didn't believe in Thessalonica. He had a group of people there that did believe. Verse 4 said, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, devout Greeks, chief of the women. He had several there that he had converted or did convert. Then in verse number 5, it says, some did not believe. They were envious. They hated what Paul had to say. They stirred up the people and they started a riot in the city. They were instigators. It says that they took unto themselves certain lewd fellows. That's not a good guy, a lewd fellow. And then others of the baser sort. That's the lowest of the low. That's like the low life. That's the worst kind of person that you can find. Well, they got these people together. They set the city in an uproar. They're looking for Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas must have been staying with this man named Jason because they go to Jason's house and they're looking for Jason, or they're looking for Paul and Silas and they can't find him, so they draw Jason out of the house, take him to the rulers of the city, and they say, these people, Paul and Silas, they've turned the world upside down with their preaching. And they're come here now, troublemakers. They're preaching the gospel. They're preaching that there is this man named Jesus and he's an anointed one. He's the Christ. They say, well, and they're also saying that, well, there's another king, one Jesus, in the last part of verse number 7. They're saying we don't have to obey Caesar, but we have to obey Jesus. Jesus is the king, is what they're saying. Well, Jesus is the king. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is king. United States president is not the king. Jesus is king. He's the one that rules over everything. And if you preach that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, and we all have to obey Him above supremely, above all things, you're going to start a problem, especially in a monarchy where you have a king there, and even a democracy where we live. Hey, we obey Jesus above all things, above the government, above anything else, and you're going to make some enemies if you say things like that. But then Paul and Silas make their way, they leave there, and they make their way down to this place called Berea. There's a Jewish synagogue there. And the reaction that they got out of the Jews at Berea was much different than the ones in Thessalonica. It says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. More noble. What does noble mean? Well, noble is of an exalted moral or mental character or excellence. That is nobility. That is being noble. So there was something different on the inside of the Jews at Berea that there wasn't in the Jews at Thessalonica. Because when they heard the Word of God, they didn't get all upset and throw a big hissy fit and starting a riot and try to get people kicked out of the city and all of this stuff. They didn't do that. And it wasn't because there was an ethnic difference or a separation there. They're both Jews. They're both in synagogues. They both hear the same kind of preaching, but those Jews at Berea were more noble. There's something different about them on the inside because they received the Word of God differently than the other people. And they were converted. It says in verse number 12, therefore many of them also believed. So it was the power of the Word of God and this mixture of nobility on the inside that was the reason why that they were converted and they believed. There was something different about them. They responded to the Word of God differently than those in Thessalonica. Well, they started out lost, but then they were saved. They were converted. You and I, we're all saved here this evening. I believe everyone have a testimony of salvation. We are saved. But there's still some things that we can learn from the Bereans about how to approach the Word of God, how to receive the Word of God. We want to be just like these Bereans. How can we be like the Bereans? How can we have that nobility? Would someone say of you, hey, that's a noble person. I can see that the way that they're acting and the way that they're reacting to the Word of God. Can Grace Fellowship Baptist Church be as the Bereans? How can you and I be like the Bereans? Well, there's three qualities that must be true of us in order to be a Berean. I want to ask you if you have these qualities within you, or maybe you need to work on these things, and maybe I need to work on these things. But the first thing that we see about the Bereans is that they had a readiness of mind. They were ready to receive the Word of God, so that they were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind. Did you know that pretty much in anything that you do in life, it doesn't matter what it is, that attitude is everything. The way that you approach any endeavor in life matters 100%. If you approach something in life and your attitude is, well, I probably can't do it. I'm probably going to fail. I'm probably going to falter. I'll just fall flat on my face. Good, you know, there's newsflash. That's probably what's going to happen to you. You're probably going to fail. You probably won't make it because you've already defeated yourself. You've already said, well, I can't make it. But the Bereans had a different kind of attitude. They were ready. They had a different mindset. They were eager. They were prepared. They were ready to receive the Word of God from the mouth of Paul and Silas. They weren't groggy. They weren't reluctant. They weren't resistant. They didn't try to resist what Paul was saying. They had a true hunger for the Word of God. They wanted to hear the Word of God. Unlike the organized resistance they just came from in Thessalonica. The Jews in Thessalonica said, hey, we don't want to hear that. Get out of our town. We're going to get a whole group of people together and we're going to fight against you and we're going to get you kicked out of our town. That's not the kind of attitude that the Bereans had. They were eager to hear the Word of God. There was something different about these Jews that was not present in the Jews at Thessalonica, something that set them apart. They were ready. You know, my wife is a great cook and she prepares meals at home. And sometimes I'll be doing something different in the house, reading, studying, whatever it might be, working, and I'll hear her say, well, hey, the food's ready. Food's ready. Now, what does that mean? When I hear the food's ready, what does that mean? That means that everything has been done in order for us to eat that food. It's all been prepared. It's all ready. I don't need to go in there and finish things up. I don't need to finish cooking that meal. I don't need to finish slicing vegetables. I don't go in there and find a half-cooked meal. I don't find a frozen anything there. It's all ready. It's been placed on the plate. I am ready to eat. It's served completely ready. I don't have to do anything except for eat it. It's all been prepared. It's all ready. And if you and I are going to be Bereans, we must approach the Word of God with a ready mind, with an eager mind. When you come to church, is your mind prepared to receive the Word of God? When you come to church and you hear preaching, is there an eagerness within you saying, I wonder, what's he going to preach on? What's the singing going to be like? Are you prepared or you've got your mind on something else? Because I believe that many times we come into church and our minds are not prepared. They're not in the right place. We've been thinking about something else. We've been thinking about the events of the day, what's been on the news app or what's been on Facebook or what's been on this or that, whatever it might be, what I'm going to be doing at work tomorrow, what I'm going to be eating later, what we're going to do after church, and our minds are not prepared to receive the Word of God. And a preacher can see that whenever he's preaching. He can see who's ready to hear it and who really doesn't care what you're saying. They're just ignoring you. They're looking up at the ceiling, counting ceiling tiles, or they're sleeping and they're doing something else, and they couldn't care less about what you're saying. They're just zoning out, talking to their neighbor, on their phone, whatever it might be, their minds are not prepared to receive the Word of God. And when a person's mind is not prepared to receive the Word of God, then it makes the preacher's job that much harder to preach to those people. And granted, it might be the preacher's fault. Maybe he's just not interesting. Maybe he's not serving you up a good meal and you just don't like the meal. But nevertheless, when a congregation is not engaged and their minds are not prepared and he's preaching, the words are just falling flat because no one is receiving it. And it's very difficult to preach to unprepared hearts because that means more work for the preacher. I've got to fight through all of the things that are going through in your mind or whatever distractions that are taking you apart in the pew, and I've got to try to get through that and get your attention. Okay, let's get back on track. Let's get back to the Word of God, and so more work must be done. Are you prepared when you come to church? The preacher has to be prepared when he comes to church to deliver the sermon from the Word of God. He has to be prepared. What kind of a preacher would I be if I got up here and said, well, you know, I've been thinking about a lot of things during the day today, and I really don't have anything to say. I haven't prepared a sermon. I can't deliver one to you because my mind isn't where it should be. So I guess we can kind of just stare at each other for the next 30 minutes until church is over because I didn't prepare. How embarrassing or how unacceptable would that be? You say, well, let's find another preacher. This guy don't have anything to say. He's not going to preach. He's not going to prepare. The same could be said of you in the congregation. Yes, you have to prepare your mind before you come to church. And by the way, that's what singing is for. We sing in order to prepare our hearts and prepare our minds to get ready to receive the Word of God. There must be a readiness. There must be an eagerness to hear the Word of God, if we are going to be Bereans. And being prepared is something you do before you come to church. You know, many times we're sitting at home watching TV, and then we just get up, hop up, go to church, and our minds are just not engaged spiritually to receive something from God. It's full of worldly things, and it's hard. It doesn't help a thing. And so we must be mentally prepared. And it'll be a lot less work for you. I mean, if you're ready when the preaching starts to receive what the preacher has to say, it'll be a lot less work for you and a lot less work for the preacher. And I would tell you this, don't expect to get a whole lot out of the preaching if you're not prepared to receive it. You're not going to get anything. Because it all depends on your attitude. Every single bit of it. But there must be a readiness of mind. But not only a readiness of mind, there also must be a diligence in study. You must study the Word of God. It says in verse number 11 that there was a readiness of mind and that they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. They got a hold of a copy of the Word of God. I don't know how much Scriptures they possessed. Old Testament at least, and they searched the Scriptures. They searched them diligently. It wasn't just occasionally. They didn't just crack the Bible open once a month, once a week, but it was daily, a daily thing. And if you're going to be a Berean, you have to have a habit. You have to be a diligent Bible student. They were constantly searching the Scriptures. Okay, what does the Scriptures have to say about this? They weren't searching the tarot cards. They weren't searching palm readers. They weren't getting in and seeing, well, what's my horoscope say for the day? Looking through the newspaper. They weren't seeking out soothsayers. They weren't seeking out the latest internet guru, religious guru, something like that. Latest internet site. No, they were searching the Scriptures, and they searched them daily. They were relentless in their search for the truth, unlike the Jews at Thessalonica. They didn't hear the Word of God preached and say, okay, let's check it out. Let's see if what he's saying is true. No, they just got mad and threw a big fit is all they did. Like a bunch of babies. But the Bereans said, no, let's check them out. We want to compare what Paul and Silas have been teaching us by the Word of God and see if it's true. They weren't interested in the philosophy of the day. They weren't interested in the latest quote from someone else. They were interested in the Scriptures. And Bereans are students of the Scriptures. Hey, what do the Scriptures have to say? I want to know what the Scriptures say. Yes, sir. The Bereans, if you're going to be a Berean, we must search the Scriptures. And in today's day and in today's climate, it is so easy to get sidetracked and not search the Scriptures. Because we have so many things that are competing for our attention. There's so many things that we could do. So many things that we could take up our time with besides reading the Word of God, besides studying the Word of God. I mean, we have families, we have careers, we have ball games, we have school functions, we have housework, we have all kinds of things. We have social media, we have Instagram, we have Facebook, we have videos, we have YouTube. We have always have something that we can put in front of our face. It's endless. You can just stay busy doing stuff all day long. But what about the Scriptures? Do we want to search the Scriptures? All of those things are competing for our attention. But many times, the only searching of the Scriptures that we do is when the preacher says, open your Bible and turn to such and such, and that's all the Bible reading that we get. That's all the searching that we do. You and I are commanded to search the Scriptures. Right. Our Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to the Pharisees, and He's trying to tell them, look, I am the Son of God. John chapter number 5. He says, I am the Son of God. He says, look at the works. They'll prove to you that I am the Son of God. Look at the miracles that I've done. I am the Son of God. And they still wouldn't believe. And then He told him, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. Right. You can find out I'm the Son of God. And they were the keepers of the law. And they didn't even know their own Messiah when He was standing right there looking at them. Apparently not diligent students of the Scriptures. We must search the Scriptures. If you and I will search the Scriptures, our faith will go stronger. We'll be more rooted and grounded in what we believe. Instead of, well, the preacher said, the teacher said, whoever said. No, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we want our faith to grow, if we want to grow stronger in the Lord, we must search the Scriptures. Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study it hard. Be diligent at it. Make it a daily practice. Spend time in the Scriptures. Make it a habit in your life. Hey, I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to read the Word of God. If you and I are going to be Bereans, we must study. Charles Spurgeon said, the Bible in the memory is better than the Bible in the bookcase. We must commit ourselves to memorizing the Word of God, studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God. And you say, yeah, but I've got to sacrifice some things. I might have to sacrifice some time. I might have to sacrifice some TV time. I might have to sacrifice some other things. Hey, it's worth it. I might have to sacrifice some sleep. Hey, it's worth it. It's worth it to have a walk with God. It's worth it. We must study the Scriptures if you and I are going to be Bereans. There must be a readiness of mind and a diligence in study, but there also must be a criticalness in response. A criticalness in response. Verse number 11 says that they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. I want to know whether what I'm hearing is true or not. They didn't receive what Paul and Silas had to say just by blind faith. They didn't say, well, Paul and Silas are apostles. They're good men. I've heard they're pretty smart. They're great men of God. So therefore, I'm going to receive it. They received it, but they said, hey, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to see whether it's true or not. And Paul and Silas were great men, greater than any men that we have in here. They were great men, apostles. But the Bereans didn't just take their word for it. No matter how great they might have been, they said, hey, we're going to search the Scriptures and see if these things are so. That's a mark of nobility. They received the Word of God, but they wanted to prove it. Why? Paul and Silas are just men. They can make mistakes. They're not infallible. There's not a man in here that's infallible. And I want you to remember this, that no matter how great that man might be, no matter how articulate he might be, no matter how popular he might be, he's still just a man. He's still a sinful man. And Bereans are not going to take Paul and Silas's word for it. They're going to say, hey, let me see it with my own eyeballs. I want to see exactly what the Scriptures have to say. I want to see it. I want to look at it. They were not just being mindless robots, being spoon-fed a bunch of information and taking it and running with it. That's not true faith. That's not true conversion. You have to search the Scriptures. They weren't skeptical, but they were critical, and they were critical in a good sense. And we'll explain that here in just a moment, but being critical can be a good thing. Every one of us need to learn how to be critical thinkers. Critical thinkers. Critical thinking is the objective analysis and an evaluation of an issue in order to form a judgment. So they formed a judgment on what was being said based on something that was objective and concrete. That's where they placed their faith. They didn't say, hey, Paul and Silas said this. No, we need something more concrete. We need something more objective. We don't want something subjective. We want something concrete from the Word of God. They didn't say, hey, you know, I kind of feel like Paul and Silas are probably telling me the truth. So therefore, it must be true. They didn't base their findings on their feelings, because they felt a certain way. Did you know you can't base your faith on what you feel? You cannot do that. They didn't base their faith on the way that the message was delivered. Well, did you see how he said that? Must not be true. He said it with a mean voice. Did you see how he said that? He said it with a nice voice. He said it with a sweet voice. Therefore, it must be true. Did you see how he articulated his voice? Must be true. They didn't say, these guys must be really smart men, therefore these must be true. No, they didn't want to be manipulated or lied to or led astray, and so they searched the Scriptures whether those things were so. There was a criticalness in their approach. Hey, I want to know whether this is true by the Word of God. And critical thinking is the healthy way to approach anything in life. Why? Because it guards us against error and falsehood. How does it guard us against error and falsehood? Because you and I have traditions. You and I have preconceived ideas when we come to the Word of God, don't we? We come to the Word of God and we read it and we say, well, it must be true because I've been told this all of my life, and therefore these traditions that I have, it must be true. And you read your traditions into the Word of God. It can happen to anybody. Now, traditions can be good things or they can be bad things. I'm not saying we have bad traditions. What I'm saying is it guards you against traditions. Well, we've always been taught this. Therefore, the Bible, it says it right there. But it might not even say that. You just think that because you got your traditions. But critical thinking will guard you against believing something that's not true because you have a tradition. Guard you against those things. Our traditions need to be lined up with the Word of God. We don't need to line up the Word of God with our traditions. The Word of God is the absolute. So critical thinking will guard us against that. It will guard us against being led astray. Every one of us, I don't care who you are in here today, how good you think you are, you have the ability to be led astray. You certainly do. The Bereans didn't trust the teachings of Paul and Silas just because it was Paul and Silas. No matter how eloquent, how great, how forceful that they said their words, it did not matter. They said, hey, we want to search these things out for ourselves. I would encourage you to do the same thing. It doesn't matter what kind of reputation that somebody has. It doesn't matter who they are. They're still just a man. You need to search it out for yourself. You might think, well, I'm the exception. It will never happen to me. It probably will if you have that kind of attitude. It can happen to anybody. There's been false teachers, and there still is today, and they're still leading people astray. Boy, there's some famous ones. I've mentioned these before, but how about Jim Jones? He led 900 people to their death to commit suicide, mass suicide, and these were good, smart, intelligent, educated people. They weren't a bunch of dumbbells. just a bunch of brain-dead dumbbells. No, they were real people. And Jim Jones had a Bible. And he was preaching to them. And he led them to commit suicide. How about old David Koresh? He let 76 people burn, men and women, burn to death in a religious cult in Waco, Texas. He had a Bible. He had college-educated people within his cult. They were smart people, articulate people, and they followed him to their death. He was all wrapped up in the book of Revelation and these seven seals, and boy, he was on fire, and boy, he was just this and that, but he was wrong, and he was dead wrong. And those people sat there and listened to him preach, and they didn't search it out for themselves. They didn't look at it, and they were led astray. Critical thinking. Paul wrote to the Galatians because they were being bewitched by a false teacher, and they were using a Bible. Now, we must not be skeptical about the Word of God. I'm not saying, look, you better be skeptical about what the Word of God has to say. No, the Bereans received what the Word of God had to say. But they said, hey, we want to check this out for ourselves. We want to see whether it's true or whether it's not true. So the basis for believing the Word of God is, what does the Scripture say? The basis for believing the Word of God is not your feelings. It's not your feelings. You can't be basing your truth on something that is subjective and not the truth. Do you know that's what society is doing today? Today, society is making judgment calls based on their feelings. Hey, we don't like what you have to say, and so therefore we're going to riot, and we're going to burn down cities. Ah! And they're just all mad, and they don't even know what the truth is. They're just going by their emotions. That's all they're doing. We don't even want to know what the truth is. Just burn it. And that's all they're doing. They're going by their feelings. I feel like I'm a man and you're a woman. You can't go by your feelings. I feel like I'm a woman, so therefore I must be a woman. Is that objective? Just because you feel a certain way? Can't do that. It's got to be something that's truthful. And then critical thinking will show us that it's true persuasion and true conversion. The Bereans, they wanted to see the Scriptures. They wanted to see that it was truthful and that it was real in the Word of God. They didn't just take Paul and Silas's word for it. They didn't hang their faith on something that Paul and Silas said without checking it out themselves. Did you know that there's too many church members and too many kids and too many teenagers that are leaving churches today because all they got was somebody else's word for it, and they didn't see it with their own eyeballs and check it out themselves, and they're just using their own, they're not seeing it in the Word of God. Well, mom and dad said so therefore it must be true. It's good to listen to your mom and dad. You should listen to your mom and dad. But they can't save you. You can't be saved because mom and dad told you something. You can't be saved because I told you something. Or any other preacher told you something. It's got to be yours. You have to own it. It's got to be your faith. Not just because somebody said something. And the Bereans said, hey, that's not good enough. We want to see it with our eyeballs. And hey, that's a firm foundation. Whenever you've seen it with your eyes and God has shown you something in the Word of God, that's an unshakable faith right there. It's not based on something subjective like somebody's opinion or something that somebody said. It shows true conversion. And on the pastor's side, on the teacher's side, there ought to be an honesty and an openness with the preacher and teacher. You know, Paul and Silas, they didn't get all upset because the Bereans were checking out what they said with the Word of God. Man, I can't believe they're checking that out. Man, that's an insult. Don't they believe what I'm saying? No, that's what they should have done. And that's what I want you to do. How about making some notes during church and checking me out when you get home? Hey, I remember him saying these things, these points he said right here. Let's see if he's telling the truth. And if I'm not, hey, come and approach me and say, hey, what about this right here? Is that right? Because I'm just a man. I'm a fallible man. I can make mistakes. I can see things in the Scriptures that maybe I made a mistake. You got to check it out for yourself. If you and I are going to be Bereans, we ought to encourage and welcome Bible study, scripture teachings, and all of this. We're going to be Bereans. So we must have a proper mindset. We must prepare our heart and our mind to receive the Word of God, even if it's just read. Even if before we read the Word of God, we pray. Look, God, show me something. This is your Word. This is your book. And I am your child, and your Holy Spirit indwells me, and it inspired this Word. How about showing me something out of your Word before you read it? Not just hop in there and start reading. I mean, that's good, but boy, prepare yourself before you come to the Word of God. Then we need to take proper action. We must study the Scriptures daily. Make it a habit of reading your Bible daily. And then have a critical approach. Whenever you hear someone talk or hear someone say something, is what they're saying lining up with the Word of God? You must have an objective standard. But God has given us everything that we need. God has given us His Word by His Holy Spirit, by His grace. He's given us His Word. We've got more resources, more Bibles than we could ever need. Hear all kinds of preaching anytime we want to. Listen to the Word of God, talk to, read to us from an app on a phone or something like that. We've got preachers, teachers, pastors, all of these things. We don't have any excuse. Look at what the Bereans had. All the Bereans had was probably one scroll to share within all of them. They had to share that thing themselves. But will you be like the Bereans and take full advantage of what God has given to you? Will you apply the Word of God to your heart and to your life? Will you obey the commandments of God? I hope that you will. I hope that we can be a church of the Bereans. God has given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us everything that we need. Let us be like the Bereans. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've given to us. Lord, I know that we fall short. I fall short many times. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to improve in this area of Bible study and Bible reading, searching out the Scriptures, seeing if these things are actually true or not. Help us to have a right kind of attitude and right kind of heart as we come to church, as we approach the Word of God, as we read the Word of God. Pray that You'd help us, Lord, not to be led astray. Oh, how easy it is to be led astray. Father, we pray that You lead us and guide us and direct us by Your Holy Spirit. Well, thank You for it, Lord. We love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.